Well, we've heard about how difficult it is for Gen Y and millennials to get into the buoyant housing market, but not all older people have home ownership to fall back on either. In fact, single women and people who've had redundancies just don't have the savings to get into the housing market when it comes time to retirement. Reporter Hans Lee finds out about the other people who've been shut out of housing and what this means for our legislators.
Australia is increasingly polarised along socioeconomic lines, so there is a proportion of our population who will be locked out of home ownership because they will never earn an income that will enable them to buy property, which of course has risen in price very dramatically over the last 15 years.
Dr. Andrea Sharam, a research fellow at Swinburne University. And while we've all probably heard of the term generation rent, a new study co-authored by Andrea now suggests that generation rent is not just a chronic problem amongst young people in this country, it now extends into much older people. Her team's projections suggest that the housing market itself has become a grave source of wealth accumulation or depression, and that if you're 45 and still renting, you might as well keep renting until retirement, when you're far less well off but have little choice when entering the property market. As a result, there may be more intense pressure on the pension system, the housing market, and housing policy, particularly the call that social housing might become more important as the aging renter now becomes a very real media jargon.
Pension doesn't really, it only vaguely kind of keeps up with the cost of living, but it certainly doesn't reflect the housing cost. The age pension is premised on you owning your own home outright by the time you retire. That's why it's so very, very problematic that people should enter retirement in private rental, because they will be paying anywhere between 40 and 80% of that pension in housing costs. And that clearly leaves people very, very impoverished and at extreme likelihood of becoming homeless.
Jason Murphy of the blog Thomas the Think Engine and formerly a policy analyst in the Treasury Department had this to say about affordable housing.
I would say it's not all their fault. There's some massive global trends that are driving house prices, but it's certainly the case that we haven't seen that much effort on politicians' part to keep house prices down. And the former government was even celebrating constantly rising house prices, probably on the basis because the majority of their constituency is homeowners. And certainly in Australia compared to overseas, there's much less public housing and much less affordable housing. Especially in the UK, they compel the construction of affordable housing as part of new developments, and that is much, much less common in Australia.
Social housing might become more important.
Social housing is a good option for the people at the absolute most vulnerable end of the spectrum, but I'm not certain that it provides a solution for the broad middle. You know, the share of people under 30 who own their own home is becoming vanishingly small. And you can't build social housing for all of them. So I think we probably need a multi-pronged approach where you build social housing for Australia's most vulnerable people, which, you know, is no small group of people. But then you also institute other policies around the tax system and land supply in order to make sure there's housing available for other people as well.
Do you think governments could afford that multi-pronged approach?
Yeah, definitely, because the changes to negative gearing and capital gains tax should actually raise money. Those are revenue-positive changes because the policies in question are provide a tax advantage to people that are investing in homes. So some of that money could be invested in social housing and leave the budget net neutral.
He also thinks that Australia can learn from Germany, where tenants bear the responsibility, but in return, the rent's cheaper, and apparently, if done right, more secure.
Yeah, I think the Germans have got a model that's really good for renters. They can stay in their home for many, many years. They're really hard to evict, and they can make changes to their house, whereas in Australia, it's difficult. You have to get permission even to bang in some picture hooks, which means a lot of people live in houses with nothing on the walls, which is a sort of sad and emblematic of this problem of a lack of control over where you live, and the German system, moves the needle on the power balance between landlords and tenants, and it gives the tenants more security and arguably a better way of life. And in fact, renting is far more prevalent in Germany, as I think people probably don't have the same drive to exit the rental market and buy their own home because the advantages of doing so are less.
Andrea, however, suggests that instead we should change the tax structure and replacing it with an inheritance tax that would mandate wealthier Australians to make compulsory investments in affordable housing ambitions.
Well, we make a whole raft of recommendations. There's really no point in raising the age pension because people are actually impoverished before they get to retirement. So people, you know, they're falling out of full-time work or onto disability pensions or onto Newstart, and then they have to use up their savings. So it doesn't resolve any of the issues. What we need to be able to do is to make housing more affordable, and to do that, we need to take out some of the incentives for people to be investing for the capital gain, because all that does is allow people with more money to pay more, and it means the price of all housing goes up as a result, and that locks out aspiring, you know, first home owners. So we've got to dampen the capital gains. So the capital gains concession needs to end. Negative gearing is not such an issue because if you're not really, you know, speculating, then you're not going to be using negative gearing that much. If it's put to new housing, that's better. What we were proposing in terms of death duties, now Australia used to have death duties. Many countries around the world are looking at reintroducing them because really what you do is you're taking from wealthy people at the end of their lives, so it's from their estate. It's at a moderate level, so it's not going to really make much difference to them. And you invest that money back into affordable housing or into schemes that allow those who haven't been able to get into home ownership to survive in the private rental market. It's certainly not the solution. Housing economics doesn't really work that way. You can bring on supply. It doesn't necessarily bring down the price because there's a lot of competition for certain localities. Centre of Sydney, centre of Melbourne, for example, there's huge competition because that's where all the really good jobs are. It's where all the really good services are and where there's public transport. You don't have the same kind of competition going for the very outer suburbs because there's really not much employment or, you know, indeed, in many cases, there's not even schools for the kids to go to. So houses are cheaper in those areas, but then people face massive commutes to get to their work.
Dr. Andrea Sharam, Research Fellow at Swinburne University, ending that report by Hans Lee.